Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Jess Fisher, GZM Marketing Director and host of 6 Minutes Rewind. If you've heard of that show, you're used to hearing me talk to co-creators Chris Terry and David Kreisman about 6 Minutes. Hi, Chris. Hi, Dave. They're here.
Hi, Jess.
Hey.
Hey. Today, we're not here to talk about 3 episodes of 6 Minutes, but the entire first season of Tomorrow. And joining me are not only Chris and Dave, but the third GZM partner and co-creator of Tomorrow, Ben Strauss.
Hi there.
Hey.
Gang's all here.
Gang's all here.
Just, you know, like I say in 6 Minutes Rewind, but if you're new to that, there will be spoilers.
Oh, it's your line.
Spoilers up through the first 50 episodes. Yeah. So nothing from the finale, which you haven't heard yet.
Yep.
That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this today.
I heard it this morning.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. The finale
is spoilers,
Jess.
No spoilers.
I'm not saying any spoilers. I'm not going to tell anybody what's going on, but it's really good.
And anything related to the musical Annie is also, that's fair game too.
The musical, the end of Annie.
The radio show, the comic strip, any of that stuff is fair game.
Yep.
The vinyl, the pressed vinyl, the vinyl workout album, all fair game.
Christmas special.
The Christmas special.
The vinyl workout album.
I posted about that on GZM socials. It's real.
Is it really a vinyl workout album?
Yes, there's a workout with Annie album. And I must find it. I actually just got a record player.
Wow.
So we're going to have some really exciting guests on this show, including the stars of Tomorrow, like Laura Benanti and Lance Reddick. But that's coming up later. But we have some celebrities here already, so let's talk to them. So, Dave, Ben, how did Tomorrow come to be?
Good question. Yeah, Ben, why don't you start this one off?
Sure. Well, you know, it was a big idea to take a piece of IP that everyone knows around the world and create an entirely new story around it. So it's a story that I grew up with because I don't know if you know this, my father wrote the music to the stage play. And so the idea of taking something which was already in the family and doing something big with it was a big idea. It was actually my sister's idea, not mine.
Oh.
Wow.
She's a...
She's a big Hollywood writer, right?
Right. I was going to say, your sister who wrote Finding Dory, no?
She wrote Finding Dory, among other things. That's right.
Did you like Annie growing up?
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like? First of all, I don't think I appreciated it as much as I appreciated it as an adult. It's such a perfect love story structurally and in so many ways. It's so perfect, so perfectly balanced as a certain kind of book musical. It's really just beautifully done.
Do you remember your dad working on it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, he would sometimes, not often, but he would sometimes say, hey, what do you think of this? And he'd play a something he was working on. And I was like, nah. not so great.
Yeah, keep tinkering.
Tomorrow, Too optimistic. Maybe
not your best work.
Too sad.
Not gonna go anywhere. Nobody's gonna like it.
Something I really like about the like original Annie that seems to have bled into like y'all's tomorrow is something that I appreciated when I got older about Annie is that it's a little bit political. Like it does comment on history and it does comment on like there's the song Hooverville. And in Tomorrow, you do address a lot of the things that we're experiencing, like AI and like social responsibility and like platforms. And I think that's something that's really cool and elevated about this.
And live streaming.
Live streaming. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that's something that's sort of in the DNA, I think, of the story. Mm-hmm. The idea that a little girl is not so little in Tomorrow. She's older. She's 15. She's a teenager. But there's a perspective that someone who is not, you know, beaten down by all mm-hmm. the things, all the fighting that happens all the time, has a perspective that this is the way things should be, just because that's where optimism comes from. That's where kindness comes from.
In the original, the Great Depression, in this, the pandemic.
The pandemic, yeah. So a very hard time that she's been through. Yep.
Yeah, you know, we thought about that a lot, actually, the idea of where, I mean, there's so much to talk about, my God, but the idea of when to set the show and how to set the show.
The parallel is great.
Right, because the show actually takes place after the pandemic.
That's right, it's 5 years. Right, it's as if because it takes place after she was adopted, but she was mm-hmm. adopted during the Depression in the show, and the idea was she was adopted during the pandemic.
Right.
Right, which that works perfectly, I think.
Right, we had no idea when it was going to end, where we were, and it was, you know, the very beginning of the pandemic, so mm-hmm. we were taking some guesses. And obviously, this is not exactly our world. We never say COVID-19. Right. It's a pandemic in New York, but we certainly knew, you know, we started that New York was in the throes of it. It was really bad.
Yes.
And
right.
It was, yes. Know, heavy lockdown, and we didn't know if and when the city would come back. So that was really kind of where it started.
It's interesting to hear that because that really was it wasn't the Depression in every way at all, because you didn't have some of the more colorful parts of the Depression that were made it into the stage play, like Hoovervilles, for instance, although you absolutely right. have that. You absolutely do have that in New York City, and even more so in L.A.
Well, I was going to say Pepper is a squatter. So it's like that is my Hooverville, like Pepper in Tomorrow. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's right. The parallel for me.
Yeah. Ben, we really thought that coming out of the pandemic, New York would be even worse than it is, I have to say. I mean, maybe we were pessimistic, but it felt for a while like, oh my gosh, all of these restaurants are going to be closed forever. And who knows when the city's going to be back to what it was, that there would be a, you know, a real recession that followed. And obviously things aren't fantastic now, but I think we worried that it might be even worse.
Well, I remember us having conversations like, I don't know how this is going to, none of us know how this is going to end. So how can we know how this starts? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the things that we talked a lot about is what you keep, what you reimagine from the stage play, which itself was a complete reimagining of, I said the word IP before, intellectual property, what was a complete reimagining of what Harold Grade created in a comic strip character, I don't know when, in the 30s, I think, and was then turned into radio plays and other things as well before it became more famous, I think, ultimately, as a musical. But when you think about reimagining musical or anything else, you imagine what parts of it you hold on to, what parts of it you sort of try and find a parallel to. We're talking about the pandemic, about COVID. You know, for those who are going to listen and haven't listened yet, COVID is not a backdrop for Tomorrow the way that the Depression is a backdrop. It's more about finding parallels in the time that we set it in, because there was something meaningful anyway about the idea that we were going through when we were writing it. Everyone was going through such a difficult time.
I also think that never-ending appeal of the character of Annie is the optimism, which is in both. And I love, I don't remember what episode it was, but Annie says that optimism or maybe positivity is a choice.
It's a choice. She makes every day.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
And I love that. It made me think a lot when I heard that. Yeah.
The other thing that we had to decide a lot in the beginning was, first of all, who's Annie in a modern world when she's not in the 30s? But also, mm-hmm. who is Annie 5 years after the girl we're used to seeing? You know, a teenager is a different person than an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old, whatever she was.
Right, the optimism is kind of different.
Yeah, so how do you hold that but make it so that she's not so corny that you couldn't believe that she was 15? That she mm-hmm. has grown in certain ways. And we talked about Captain America as an example of someone who has that kind of, you know, cockeyed optimism. and how to find it. And it was, we were finding it all along the way. For me, I've said this before, but it was the moment where she talks to the other gravestones in the cemetery that sort of opened up her voice to me. It was like, oh, that's who she is. Mm-hmm. She comes and she brings flowers to everybody in the graveyard because that's her version. It's not a silly optimism. It's the way she wants to be and the way she wants to look at the world.
It's a kindness. It's a sense that she wants to just be that person in everything she does. Whether there's someone around to see it or hear it or not, it's who she is. It's an interesting choice. I mean, when she said that line about it being a choice, it's true, but it's, of course, more complicated than that. And you could say the opposite, too, which is that negativity or pessimism is a choice. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice that I think many people, maybe choice is not exactly the right word when you talk about it this way. It's a fact that many people sort of walk around with those feelings and those ideas. And it's a challenge to not look at something in a dim light, because after all, that's scary and it provokes anxiety and we're used to it and it's natural and you don't worry about things that are good, but worry is more automatic. So I don't know what Annie and tomorrow, what her thinking is exactly. It's not as easy to be positive, I think. But at some point when you are that way all the time and it's who you are, it really becomes natural. And maybe it becomes just as easy in some ways. Although she is challenged quite a bit by circumstance and more.
Right.
Well, one of the things we had to really watch when we were doing this is that we definitely had to cut back on the cheeriness at sometimes, right? I mean, just in terms of that classic.
Right. She thought her dad was gone.
Well, not only just that, just have her read more real, just in terms of the acting, we had to pull back sometimes.
Well, she's 15, not 10. Right. And right. I think there's a big difference there. That's a lot of... So who is Annie at 10 and who is Annie at 10 or 11 and who is she at 15? I mean, a different person. And the world knows a character who is 10 or 11 years old and who is able to say certain things to anybody in the world because that's who she is. But a 15-year-old naturally is going to be coming from a different place. And what does it mean to try and find the same qualities that made her special as a 15-year-old?
And then contrasting that on this show with... Who is Ms. Hannigan? How was she raised? What has she been through in these 5 years? Chris, we were talking today about villains and whether, you know, Laura Benanti plays villains. And you said Ms. Hannigan's really not a villain in this show. And that's true. You know, she has this villainous past. You know, one of the comps we talked about with that is Cobra Kai, which reexamines the Daniel and Johnny rivalry. And although Annie and Hannigan aren't rivals in quite that same way, it is that idea of reexamining this from not just Annie's perspective, but Miss Hannigan's as well.
Mm-hmm. The Hannigan in Tomorrow is a very full character, and Laura was brilliant creating it. You know, the nuances are so interesting. I feel like it's an evolving character, too. Chris is right. She's not a villain in the way that... In Annie, and there have been many versions of it too, Hannigan isn't always quite the same villain as she is in every version. She's redeemed in some small ways in the end, sometimes. There was just a TV version recently where they did the show live.
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure that Hannigan did not go off to jail in that version.
She didn't. There was like a moment where, I don't remember what happens, but the orphans forgive her.
Yeah, I mean... The idea that it's there, that you want to know more about her and maybe not punish her the same way that Rooster, her brother's punished, is certainly there. She does come out of jail at the top of Tomorrow. She was punished, and she's a complicated character. I mean, there's a lot of interest in her as a character. It's interesting. I mean, you know, who she can be. And the one version in Tomorrow is very complex and very interesting. Hannigan in Tomorrow is someone who's figuring herself out, too, and is on a journey, which is going to really evolve in season two for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that we said spoilers. No spoilers, but
she's alive by the end of season one. That's all you spoiled.
What? So another really interesting thing that was sort of reimagined for this podcast is the music.
It's really great. I mean, it's a big swing when you hear the theme of the show Tomorrow, which happens to be a reimagining of the song Tomorrow. It's great. It's so interesting. And I think that there are so many choices you can make and ways you can go.
We heard a lot of comments about people not liking the electronic voice, but I think it works so great. I think it's amazing.
Change is hard, you know?
Change is hard, I know.
Change is hard.
That theme was done by myself and Sean Pierce, and Sean Pierce taking the lion's work on that and just really did exactly what Ben's talking about, really just reimagined it. And we did a couple different versions of Tomorrow, and that one just became the theme.
It's not about better or worse. It's about bringing out a big idea and presenting it as part of a bigger idea, which is this whole show. The theme that you did with Sean does that exactly. It says you're going to see a lot of things that are familiar, and you're going to see a lot of things that are new. And it's going to be a ride.
And you're going to hear a lot of things that are new. Right, exactly.
And it's a ride. And it's a great ride. For all those people who made those comments, if you get past...
That's when I consider that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
And the thing about the voice... Right? The thing about the voice is interesting because the whole theme itself, which you hear at the beginning of this rewind, is it's such a cool effect. And I get it. It's a big step. And then you hear the voice at the end, which is like, if you thought that was... a big change, you're not going to be comfortable here. And that's not the case. I mean, I think the story is very comfortable. It's a very, very tight story with fantastic characters, and it takes you on a journey. You know, you're never confused or bored or anything like that. It's just a lot of fun. And it's like any of our other shows in that respect. But if you are starting from a place where you think you're going to just another adaptation of the original, which might be incredibly imaginative and wonderful in all kinds of ways, a deeper dive into all the characters and their backstories and so forth. It's just not that. We go out in a different direction. And I think the music sets you up for that in a very smart way. I love it. And anyway, you know, for what it's worth, my dad always thinks that it's a show which should be done in many different ways. It's a universal story. The idea of Annie, the stage play, and what happened in the story was always something my dad believes should be done in all kinds of ways. It's a very universal story. Finding love, a particular kind of love, two people coming together in a particular kind of way, a girl looking for her parents and finding a dad at a time when the country is struggling and having a voice that reaches people and lets them know that there's hope. I mean, those are big ideas which deserve to be reinterpreted.
Thank you so much, Ben. Really appreciate it. See you in the next meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow on the Tomorrow's production call.
Yes, we'll see you in the production. In the 7 meetings we've got together, I'll see you tomorrow.
Right, literally.
Got no folks to speak of, so it's the hard knock row we hoe. Cotton blankets instead of wool, empty bellies instead of full. It's the hard knock life.
Okay, so now we're actually going to go through and give some awards in various categories, just like we do in 6 Minutes Rewind. And we're going to have some special guests to help us do that. We have our first very special guest, Miss Hannigan herself, Tony Award winner, Laura Benanti. I'm a really, really big fan.
You know, it's so funny. I actually thought you were yawning at the beginning of it. I was like, wow, I know she's in LA, but that is harsh. But then I heard that it was actually a buildup to excitement, and now I'm cool.
No, I was playing it so cool in our like pre-record. I'm like the biggest fan ever.
Aww, that's nice.
So yeah, anyway, you like the musical Annie, right?
I sure do. Oh my gosh, fun story. When I was a little kid back in the 1900s, it's all I would watch. And then I started acting like a little sort of bratty. You know, I was like stepping on people's feet. And my mom was like, ooh, the tape broke. And she threw my Annie tape away, but I would still sing all the songs. And so I absolutely love it. And
I love that.
So you're being corrupted by the character of Annie.
Right. I really was.
Did you want to play Annie?
I did want to play Annie, but I also wanted to play Pepper.
Fun.
Yeah. I think that's more of where my sass was coming from, even. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, I was also just like, Annie Reinking is the most beautiful woman in the world. I just wanted that dress that flowed in the breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, that like.
Oh, yes. Right. We got Annie and it's
forget it. Had like a little
at Monmouth
cape.
University.
Get out of here. Gorgeous. At Monmouth University. That's where
Monmouth University.
Fun fact, my dad went to undergrad there.
Oh, really?
Wait, seriously?
I was there.
Yeah.
I was actually there when they filmed the.
You're kidding.
The closing number, yeah.
You
I grew
were
up right there too. Yeah, I was.
What?
Yeah, why?
Because I lived 5 minutes away, and
right.
My dad was connected to the university, and we got to go and see them shooting that big party at the end and going down the steps and everything. Yeah.
Whoa, wait, that is so cool. Oh my gosh, jinx, Jess.
And they did a premiere also at a local movie theater.
I
got to go to that. Yeah. I was like,
that's cool.
I don't know, 6 years old or something, 7 years old. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yep.
I'm also from Monmouth County. So I, every time driving by, I was like, oh my gosh, that's
so funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm from Canada.
Yeah, we know. We know. We love know your healthcare. We get it.
Our Annie had to wear mittens and a coat.
But she was nice.
Uh-huh. She was really nice.
Yeah.
She hunts moose.
She's friends with Anna. Green Gables.
She is friends with Annie of Green Gables.
Right. Sandy's a moose or a penguin. Is there penguins in Canada?
There's no penguins.
Definitely not penguins, but
not penguins. But there's moose. Yeah.
And bears.
There's moose.
And
bears, there's meese. This is a great note. So I guess historically on Broadway, I always thought of Laura Benanti as the ingenue, and you're playing a villain.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy playing a villain more or less, or what's your vibe on that?
I've played a lot of villains, actually. I mean, I definitely was an ingenue for a while, although I always tried to bring some spunk to those characters, because especially in revivals, there's a definitely like, and then she swooned sort of vibe. So I always tried to bring in some like, you know, feminist energy. But yeah, it's funny. Mostly on TV, I've played villains. I played ingenues and sort of leading ladies on Broadway. But, you know, I was like Supergirl's evil aunt and Supergirl.
Right.
My character on Younger is a total B-word. you know, there's like, I'm filming a movie right now with Jennifer Lawrence, no big deal. And my character is very awful. I think on television, my cheekbones just read evil, you know, like my Eastern European bone structure.
And Melania, of course.
Yes, Melania, of course, the definition of evil.
Yes.
So I think playing a villain is really fun because within a villain, you know, I don't even think of them as villains because you have to be on your character's side. So within the context of that, you can find heartbreaking moments. And what I love about the way that this character has been written and reimagined is that we actually get to see the heart of her. She's not sort of just like a drunken person with a boa who hates children. We see like why she became who she became, and we see her desire to change and be different.
Mm-hmm. You feel for her through the whole show.
Yeah,
you know? And even
you root for her.
Yeah, even we can't discuss the last episode because you know it's under wraps until after you've listened to this. But I think in the end, even I would, Jess and Dave, you probably agree that she still sort of has a redeeming quality about her.
Yeah, you're rooting for her to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Even like, you know, not to talk about another show, but when I did Supergirl, that was important to me too. That you saw the heart of her because it's not fun to just hate someone. You know, I think it's way more interesting to be like, oh, I hate you so much because you could be great.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's just more interesting and fun for the audience. So, but I really love the way this character has been written and it's been fun to play her. And I really appreciate you all allowing me to bring my my dry wit.
It's been so fun.
My wit.
Yeah, listeners, you may not know, but there was a lot of improvised lines that Laura brought to the show.
Love.
It was really great. And Dave and I would just go, yep, that's in.
Yeah, yeah, but to be fair, most of it is what you did write, and I would just say it in my sort of classic
I would read the
B-word way. And I really do appreciate the moments where I was like, can I say that? And you were like, yes. So I do appreciate that.
Well, I think we on that note, I think we should get into it. What do you think,
Jess?
Okay, yeah, okay. Best musical moment.
Right, and I will say up front, Laura, you are allowed to pick yourself.
Well, obviously. 100%. I mean, I think that goes without saying.
It's happened a lot of times on this show.
Has it really?
Sometimes people have picked themselves even when they weren't in the episodes.
That's true.
Okay. We'll name names later.
Well, so what we're going to do is play some clips from some of the music in the show, and Laura's going to pick her favorite one. So here is a clip from the classic Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, one love, yeah, tomorrow, you're always
so good. You know what I love about these young people? Is everybody's got like a slow vibrato now. Everybody's giving you like a... It's like a very slow Ella Fitzgerald-y, but now. God, I wish I could do it.
That was a hard one to rearrange because it's so well known that in the end, Dave Malloy and I, that was one that we stuck a little closer to the script on just because it's just hard.
Yeah, but you swung it in a way that is so cool. Your arrangements are insane.
Thank you.
I have cried on more than one occasion in the studio. I think we all know that's true. They're just so beautiful and such a fresh take. So, okay, that's going to be hard to beat.
Thank you. Okay, well, that for listeners, that comes in episode 101 if you haven't listened. So we're going to go to episode 109 now. And this, you know, I'm just going to put a plug in. This is possibly my favorite.
101 means episode one, by the way.
Oh, yes. Sorry, gosh, I'm talking in media speak.
People know that, right? Exactly. Is there anyone who's like, what could that possibly mean?
Exactly. There was 100 episodes I didn't listen to.
What episode?
Oh, that's true. Okay,
so
never
we're going to move to episode 9.
Okay,
there you go.
For one of my personal favorites. Yes. This one was really crazily imagined from the original. So here it is, Little Girls.
Okay.
In a cage with all the rats, I've slipped through the cracks and now I'm stuck with the scraps and I can't seem to find my way back home. Get me out of here. I'm ready for stardom after all these years. I'm done. Little girls, I wanna be someone in this world. I wanna be someone in this world. I wanna be someone in this world. I wanna be
so beautiful.
Love.
It's, I mean, that arrangement is gorgeous. And also, listening to my own self is is torturous to me. It's torturous.
Well, we can listen to you all day.
Yeah, exactly. I get the chills when you go, done.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
I feel like the only thing we're missing is you knocking a vase off.
That's what I was crying for real. That's what I was crying for real. Sometimes when I'm with my daughter in the car, she's really into musicals now, thank God. And she will, we've been listening. Am I allowed to talk about other shows? Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We've been listening to Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. And we watched the original Bernadette one. And she's obsessed with it. She will not stop watching it. And so she's like, I want to listen to Into the Woods. And I'm like, do you want Mommy's or do you want Bernadette's? And she's like, I want yours, but I don't want to listen to your songs. And I asked her why, and her response was, because it sounds like you're crying.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I think is like, it's emotional for her. It's like evocative for her.
Yeah, hearing mom in distress.
Yeah, and I remember that. My mom is a singer and a performer, and we'll I remember being a little girl and hearing her sing and being like, I'm feeling so many feelings, I need them to stop.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah,
it's like
so
too intimate or something.
It's
right?
too intimate. So both me and my child hate listening to my voice.
Oh, hilarious. Hilarious. Well, which one do we have? We got Maybe from episode 7.
Oh my God, I've heard this one and I can't wait to hear it again.
It's the best opening of musical theater,
it's,
I think.
So gorgeous.
Here we go.
Betsy, he reads. Betsy, she sews. Maybe she's made me a closet of clothes. Maybe they're strict, as straight as a line. Don't really care as long as they're mine. So maybe now this prayer is the last one of its kind. Won't you please come get your baby? Baby.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are those all her voice layered on individual tracks, or is it that thing you can sing into that, what is it called? Is it a harmonium or something?
Yeah, no. So it is, it's her. This mm-hmm. is Haley Klinkhammer, who did all the voices for, all the singing voices for Annie. It's her doing the main line, and she's doing some background parts, and the other background part is the same singer that we used from Ireland. Remember who did your guide track?
Yes, yeah. she's so good.
Yeah, so she's doing all the harmonies and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
All right, I still have a favorite.
All right.
All right.
We're going to move on. We're going to move on to Beyond the Sea, which is episode 17.
This might be my favorite.
This is one of my favorites.
Oh, no. Yeah. Am I featured in this?
You are in this.
You are. Jeez. Only half.
Stealing myself. Girding my loins.
Here we go.
Let's take it home. I got the harmony.
We'll meet beyond the shore. We'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea. And never again I'll go sail.
Sweet.
So, speaking of Bernadette Peters, that was the inspiration behind that
it
arrangement.
Was?
Yeah. So you know when? When her and Steve Martin sing in The Jerk.
In The Jerk. Yes. Oh.
And he does that great line. If I could go up through that trumpet and through all the valves and go up through the thing and I would kiss you on the lips.
Yes.
They do that amazing duet. And that was when we first sat down to do this. I said, I want to do it like that. I want to have that feel to
it. I love it. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm going to like it here. 122.
Get ready 22. For this. Get ready for this one.
Right. This is the end. So this has Alan Ruck, Annie singing, and this is Annie shutting down Drake. So this is a little more in-scene music.
We've never had a little girl. She's glad to volunteer. I think I'm gonna like it here. Good night, Annie. I think you're gonna
All right, there's a clear winner for me. I like that very much. And also, I know my choice.
That's a fun one.
It's very good.
Hats off to Jennifer Rokamp, who's amazing, does amazing orchestrations.
So that's beautiful. Yeah. The strings on all this stuff, I'm very into.
And not real strings.
No, I imagined, right? But it really sounds like it.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's only a few people that can do it like that. Yeah. And Jennifer is one of them. Anything But You.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, there's a couple more.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple more, yeah.
Okay.
We haven't even gotten to Easy Street.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
Anything, right?
I'm poor as a mouse. I'm richer than my debts. But nothing on earth could ever divide us. And if tomorrow I'm an apple seller too, I don't need anything. I
Lance Reddick, ladies and gentlemen.
So good. Wait, who played the piano?
Oh, that's Jim Riddle, a very famous New York piano player who I've played in his band for probably like 10 years.
Right.
I mean, him and I have played so much music together, and he is just one of the greatest piano players ever to live. I sit at gigs, I sit behind him, and I take my hands off my bass, and I stop playing, and I just watch him.
Whoa. I stop doing my job, and I just become an audience member.
I go, why am I here?
Right. No, I often ask that about you. but he's amazing. All right, well, okay. We have a competition now.
Yeah.
There's still four to go.
These are quick. These are quick.
All right.
Nine to five. Classic episode 12.
Starts pumping out on the street. The traffic stops. Tell me with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by.
All right, so that one is pretty. Ooh. That one is really hard to do because that tune is just. So perfect
good.
The way that it is.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but you made it super modern.
Yeah, tried to sort of mess it up a little bit. So rule,
great.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Why do Irish people all have voices.
So
wait, can I hear more of that? His voice is amazing. I would listen to an entire album of him.
I know.
Am I allowed to listen to more of that?
I can send you the track, yeah.
No, but I mean for the competition purposes.
Oh, for
the,
that's all.
I got
that's,
to listen.
That's all I had. That's all I had. Yeah,
that's the clip we made,
I just have to say, then it's not an apples to apples situation because some of these were longer and
some
I got
of the clips
to hear
were
more of the arrangements.
That's true.
So
it's true. Chris is putting his thumb on the scale.
Well, the thing is, the ballads take a while to sort of resolve themselves. So that, you know.
Hi, I'm Landon Woodson, and I host an episode of Who's Amazing Life, a Wondery podcast for kids and families. In The Plant Doctor, you've always loved plants, but when you leave home in search of new opportunities, you discover that your passion for bulbs and blooms can help others and maybe even change the world. Listen to The Plant Doctor and other incredible stories from Who's Amazing Life on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, didn't your daughter say that she likes that version better than the
Tears for Fears?
My daughter
had no idea there was an original one, and I played her the original. She's like,
what?
Can you just put yours on?
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. I frankly would love to hear more of it, but clearly that is not possible. So.
Here's another one. I love this version. So this is just Haley and her guitar singing Hard Knocks.
Does she play it?
Yes, she plays the guitar too.
What?
It's a hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us. Steady treated, we get tricked. Steady kisses, we get kicked. It's a hard knock life. Got no folks to speak of, so it's the hard knock roll. We hold cotton blankets instead of wool, empty bellies.
I am obsessed with her. Also, that is hard. She's not in a key that is like, oh, this just is like easy.
No.
So that is double track. So she's playing guitar along with herself, but then she's also, I got her to do a thing on the guitar where she's like.
Yes, I heard that.
You know,
that's so cool.
Dude.
And we discovered her, maybe we'll talk about
it.
This in an earlier segment of this, but we discovered her because she had done a version of Tomorrow on YouTube. And just in
is
searching
really
around
how?
For various, yeah,
I had no
she
idea.
Had done an amazing just acoustic version of. She does a lot of cover stuff on her YouTube page, yeah. And then Chris reached out to her. And,
wait, how old
she's
is
amazing.
She?
She is, I would say now, I'm guessing 25, maybe.
Oh my gosh,
something like that. But she has videos on YouTube from when she was like young, singing.
25
yeah.
is
yeah,
young,
like 16,
yeah, it
Chris.
Is. I know. Well, this is the last one. Easy Street. Here we go.
All right.
Mother dear, I know you're down there listening. How can I follow your sweet advice to Easy Street? Easy Street, where you sleep till noon.
Yeah, yeah.
of fun psychotic places.
How do I not choose my mom? You just put me in a terrible situation right before the holidays.
Fine. Listeners don't, if listeners don't know, that's Laura's actual mom singing.
Her actual mom.
Yeah.
Her. Yep. I don't know why I'm speaking
Broadway
myself.
Star in the 80s, right?
Her real mom.
So Laura, well, you know. So it's
I know my order.
Okay.
I gotta go Hard Knock Life number one. I'm just too blown away by it. I'm sorry.
Sleeper. I like it.
I know. I'm just so impressed by it.
Nice.
Easy Street, just so I get presents at Christmas.
Nice.
Then I love Tomorrow.
Nice.
I honestly didn't hear enough of Everybody Wants to Rule the World, so I don't know. Same with 9 to 5. That was not given a fair chance.
That's
but
true.
I'm going to go 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
But honestly, I love them all, and I'm not just saying that. Right. I think they're all so brilliantly reimagined and performed, and the music is so gorgeous. It is a risk to take on a show like this. And you guys really nailed it.
Thank you.
You really did. Well, I'm not just saying that because
the key I'm more of a jazz musician, not much of a Broadway musician, although I have played in pits, like Broadway pits for a long time. But I don't have that touchstone as much. So when I sit down to do it, and when Dave and I would sit down to do it, he's the same way. It's like all we know is sort of like our rock and jazz.
But that's
roots,
good,
because
I think you're able to keep the integrity of it, and you clearly have a respect for it. Mm-hmm. But then you get to bring it into the world that you are an expert in, and the blend is just really awesome. As a person who loves Broadway and has done a lot of it, like, it feels respectful, for lack of a better word, and also really fresh and cool and interesting. Yeah. So I think that works perfectly.
You got to keep what works best on every tune.
Totally.
And then go from there, Well,
And tells a story just like great Broadway music does. Even when it's reimagined, it still has mood and tone and story.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that you didn't try to, like, you still respected the fact that, like, the music from Annie is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't just, like, rewrite the music. Yeah. You kept the beauty in it. Big fan of
that. Me too.
You guys are so nice. So Laura has one more category. This one will go a little faster.
Okay.
So what's the category? Jess, what's the category?
Yeah. This is best Annie callback or Easter egg. So I'm a big Annie fan, Laura.
Yes,
it seems
I
like
am
you
as
are as well. So these are things that were plucked from the musical.
All right,
and
best Annie callback or Easter egg. And here we go. First one is Drake the Butler.
Live streaming from the back of the Warbucks mobile.
I thought your father told you not to call it that.
That's what he says. Only secretly, he kind of loves it. But okay, it's just an SUV powered by the driverless, robotic, automated, kinetic environment. Drake.
Nice.
Took us a long time to come up with that acronym.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good. That's awesome.
Tessie's Oh My Goodness.
Hello, my name is Tessie, and I'll be performing Oh My Goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yes, we heard you.
No, I... okay.
Yeah, that's Chris's...
Wow. Hold on, I'm going to need some time to unpack that. That was... I need some time.
Well, don't let my acting blind you with the sheer
greatness of it. No, I'm saying it was so gorgeous that I am covered in chills and I need to recover.
Chris and I make a lot of appearances as goons and security officers.
I played a nurse in this show, and I played a reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty big moves for me.
Yeah, we do a lot of, hey, you, come back here. Yeah. That's kind of our specialty.
So the next one is Lock It.
That was really popular when the Annie musical was on Broadway originally. It was very popular to buy a locket in the merch. Really, I think that's some really good merch.
She was not.
No, I was not.
She actually,
you were born in 1997?
I know.
That's offensive. Yeah, that's violence.
Next one we have.
That's the year I graduated from high school.
I know.
I can't change it. I'm sorry.
Just in the face.
It was also popular, by the way, to run away from home and become an orphan for a while.
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
Let's see. Annie says she basically had one dress growing up.
I mean, I basically had one outfit most of my life, right?
I love that.
That's cute.
The red dress, we know it.
Red.
Yep. And then we have never fully dressed without a smile.
Because it seemed like you were getting ready to...
Hey, hobo man, hey, dapper Dan. You've both got your style, but brother, you're never fully dressed without a smile.
I like that one, too.
Hennigan's mom.
My sainted mother, she told me and my brother over and over again that you don't get anywhere by following the rule book.
She just pulled that out. We literally started totally. And we stopped and I was like, you have an accent? And she was like, I guess so. He just came out.
Love it.
And that's funny. Yeah, so we only know in the musical, we just know it from the song right. Easy Street. She
right.
she says my sainted mother told us. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So and the last one is Grace was supposed to bring home a boy at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah.
When I decided to share my home with an orphan for Christmas, I sent Grace to find the right one.
Only she went to the wrong orphanage, didn't she, Oliver?
She was supposed to bring home a boy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most genius Easter egg. I just love that. That's like, that's such a little detail. It's such a cute little detail for the musical that y'all made into a really yeah. intense plot point. So yes. good. So good.
We're awesome. Agree. I'm just kidding.
We're awesome.
Well, Laura, what do you think? What's your favorite callback or Easter egg?
There was something cheeky to me about making Oh My Goodness the title of a song and then having her also use it as a phrase.
Right.
So I really like that on like a light, happy level. Mm-hmm. But then I really do like bringing home a boy the way that you made it like weighted. Mm-hmm. Can I tie? Mm-hmm. Can I do a tie?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. They yeah. tie
sure.
for me.
Sure can.
Yeah, we split the trophy in half. It's all good.
Okay, great.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Get the saw out.
It's exactly. just like the locket. Exactly. We split.
You, get you know, it's funny. Piece. I didn't even know there was a song, a real song called Oh My Goodness until Dave. Dave is really in touch with like
I didn't know that
youth
either.
Culture. Culture. Yeah that's yeah. kind of my thing.
Well,
wait, is the song Oh My Goodness from Annie?
No, there's a pop
no,
song.
No,
called Oh My
it's
Goodness.
A it's a pop song.
Oh,
I never heard about it.
I actually right, didn't.
Well,
know
I'm
that.
Gonna Google it.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
And doing this, and also you were
Seriously.
Just so fantastic
so
on the show.
I know
it's been great. It's been so great. Not only just like getting a chance to work with you, but also just getting to know you and just hanging out. Aww. It's just been absolutely so much fun, and you just brought this show to life. Aww, so thank
you. That means so much to me. I've had such a good time with you guys. Thank you for putting up with my incessant stretching and complaining about my children. I literally be like, I just have to stand up and crack my neck. Or I'll be like, why won't they sleep? So thank you. I really, it's been so much fun. It's been such a pleasure to be on. And I'm really proud to be a part of it. It's such a good show.
It's awesome. Awesome.
I really mean it.
We're proud to have you on.
All righty. Yeah. Well, we'll let Laura get out of here and we'll move on to the next category here.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So nice to meet you.
Bye.
That's where we're going. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Be.
That's my girl.
All right, next up, we have Oliver Warbucks himself.
Wait, Oliver Warbucks is here?
He's here.
Yeah, Oliver Warbucks is
Are
here.
Are you serious?
With or without his entourage?
Actually, he's alone. It's Lance Reddick.
Hey,
Lance!
Hey, hey, hey. I was going to say, no, I'm Oliver's twin brother, but...
That's next season.
Yeah.
So excited to have you here, and you did such an amazing job on the show this season. Just so fantastic to work with you and have you on the show. It's just fantastic. It's awesome.
I got so excited about doing the show that I'm dying to do it as a TV show now.
Oh, yeah.
We're hoping. That's right. Right.
Easily. I think my favorite sequences was when you were yourself, when Tessie was, quote unquote, playing you.
But like, so much
of
fun
course, it
that.
Was you recording. Like,
yeah, yeah.
My favorite was like, ooh, I got to do a little soft shoe. I love that. It makes me laugh so much.
See, my favorite was having to say, oh, my goodness, several, you know, over and over again. Oh, my goodness.
So good.
We talked to Laura before this, and Laura grew up with the musical Annie. She wanted to be in it. She saw it 9,000 times. You have kind of a different relationship to the show Annie, right, Lance?
Oh, yes, I've never seen it. In
You've
any
still
iteration.
Never seen it.
I've still never seen it on stage. I've never seen the three movies.
Oh my gosh. Or
I don't know how many movies there are. There are at least two of them.
I love it. This is the only Annie you know, which is fantastic.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we made
oh
it up.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
That's true. We made it up. We made up this thing called Annie. But I mean, you wouldn't know because right. You play the lovingly grouchiness of Oliver Warbucks so wonderfully. Yep. It's great. And also, you're a fantastic singer.
You got to sing.
Well, I sing. How fantastic I am, I guess I'll let people be the judge of that.
Oh, it sounds
so fantastic, man. It was so much fun. That was just such a good time.
Some tight harmonies, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we have in the notes here, Lance, as we all know, you are a veteran of quite a few action movies. John Wick being
yeah.
one
John
of them.
John Wick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we thought, what better person to have on to pick the best action sequence from season one of Tomorrow?
Man, I'm so glad that the Donnie Yen is less local. Okay, lay them on me.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Right.
All right, this is the first
you
one.
You get to choose.
You get to choose, right.
Okay.
And there can be ties. You can. It's just, there's no rules. We make them up as we go.
That's right. Most people vote for themselves. Yeah, so
you're allowed to vote for yourself. Yeah. mm-hmm. So here we go. Best action sequence. This is when Warbucks' plane goes down in episode 14.
What's happening?
I don't know. We seem to be off course and the plane is... Listen, Annie, I need to tell you something. About this mission overseas, about where I've been. It involves you.
Me?
Yes. In case I don't make it through, if something happens to me...
What are you talking about?
Trust no one.
What?
I don't want to say too much before I have all the details, but I believe this person means to do us harm. Annie? Annie, can you hear me? Annie, are you there? Drake, what's happening?
The call was dropped, Mr. Warbucks.
I know that. What's happening to the jet? Why are we off course?
I'm sorry. I can't control it.
What do you mean? Is something wrong with your system?
Something. Someone is changing my commands.
You've been hacked. Switch to manual control. I'll fly the jet.
It's too late. Apologies, Mr. Warbucks, for what's about to happen.
What are you talking about? What's about to happen?
In 5 seconds, I'm going to depressurize the cabin.
What?
Once that happens, your oxygen supply will be depleted until you go unconscious.
Are you going to let me die, Drake?
I don't want to. Three.
Drake, do not
two,
do this. I'm ordering you.
One.
Do not. Annie.
It's wow. So pretty scary. Pretty scary. Wow.
Man.
Yikes.
That's a lot going on there.
And that's the reverse side of the phone call that we hear early yeah. from Annie's
side. It's actually
side.
Episode 40.
I yep. know, I read it wrong. Yeah, I'm having trouble with the episode 40. Numbers this round.
It's
episode
a ways in
40.
There. Mm-hmm.
We should point out, by the way, that none of the actors on this show were ever in the room together. Everybody recorded
which is so
separately.
Bonkers because it sounds like, I mean, these are such amazing actors that y'all sound like you're acting with each other. Like, it's great.
Must have got a really good editor on this show.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see. Annie and the Orphans in Runaway Drake Car.
Whoa! Drake, you know I hate to be a backseat driver, but you're going awfully fast there, buddy.
I'm afraid you're mistaken, Annie. I always drive the speed limit. I'm carrying precious cargo, after all.
Oh, my... Goodness! I think I'm gonna be sick!
And he's headed into Central Park!
Oh, Drake! Stop! You might hurt someone!
Whoa!
Yeah!
Look out! Hot dog car!
Hey, Jarvis! He's going off the road! He's going off the road, Warbucks!
Drake, please stay on the... We're on the grass!
Oh my goodness!
Watch out, people!
Is this even legal?
Not too worried about the law right now.
Except maybe the laws of physics.
Whoa! What is wrong with you?
Nothing at all, Annie. I'm driving at a perfectly safe speed. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Not so enjoyable! We gotta do something before someone gets killed!
Again,
You're unbuckling? Why are you unbuckling? I'm gonna climb up front and try to take over the controls. Annie, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
I just need to figure out what's going on with... Watch out!
Annie!
Yeah. Wow.
I can't wait for our ride when we franchise this into an amusement park.
Yeah, that's right. True. That's a good one.
It's going to be a really good ride.
That's true.
Man, NDA everybody.
I know.
Yeah, yep. That's right. No vehicle is safe on this show.
Next is the yacht crash. It's kind of another, it's just another crash.
Oh, yeah. This planes, crash. Trains, and automobiles.
This time it's on a boat. Mm-hmm. And here we go.
Captain, why are we moving? Captain.
Andre, we're headed straight for shore.
Full speed ahead.
Relax.
What's happening?
Captain, full reverse. We're going to hit the rocks. Captain!
We're
going to
crash!
Turn the boat!
Annie, Pepper, don't move!
Move! Adam! Sandy!
You go.
There you go.
I forgot how many crashes there are on this.
There really are, yeah.
Wow. This.
Yeah, pretty intense.
You can hear the fabulous acting of Dave in the background playing
playing scared crewman.
Scared crewman, right.
Yeah. Yep.
Dave and I and Jess, too, we play all the background, the goons and the people that are just sort of like, go get him.
Yeah.
There he went. There he is.
I have a line. It's either 50 or 51 where I say, Warbucks, are you going to fight this?
We're the exposition police.
Exactly. And then we've got some more Lance here as Warbucks escapes from prison.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Yeah.
Open the door.
Is it working?
I understand.
Yes.
You did it, Dad. Go.
Droid, open the next door, now! Opening door. One more coming. Open the gates. Opening exterior gate. Go, go, go! Oh! We're in the jungle. Where is this place? What's that?
Drones, Dad! They're coming for you!
So good. You really sound like you're running. It's so great.
And then we get to him diving really into a waterfall out. After that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, then you dive off the waterfall. Well,
oh, did I? I didn't remember that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, you did. It was really good. We got the swim coach in there. Like, yeah.
You do the classic audio drama where you jump off the waterfall and go,
I don't know if I said this when we recorded, but when I hear that, I immediately think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, what is it? We got to jump. He says, no, what? We got to jump. He says, I can't swim. And Paul Newman starts laughing. He's like, maniacally.
I love it.
He says, you can't swim. The fall will probably kill you.
We've sort of widened the definition of action, but we had to include this one.
We had to include this
one. We had to.
Okay. Yeah, here, this is the last one, and it's just great.
Presenting Oliver Warbucks!
It's a video of Warbucks, so...
It's not a video. Show her, Tessie!
Hello, Ms. Hennigan. Scaring the kids today?
When you move, he moves.
And when I talk he talks.
Virtual Warbucks.
I built the deepfake software using archival videos.
Takes the act to a new level. Now when people talk to him, they can see him too.
Hey, look at me. Watch me dance. Oh, didn't know I could do a soft shoe, did you?
Okay, that's just... That's pretty funny.
That's my favorite. I love it. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, the things you forget.
Exactly. So out of those, what is your favorite action sequence, Lance?
Wow. Well, this is tough. I mean, I love the escape, but when it comes to action, I think I'm a vehicle person. It's either the boat or the... I was going to say the car, but then at the end of the boat sequence, when the three of them were screaming almost in harmony, And it just went on forever. Like, that's got to be it. So, yeah, the boat crash.
Excellent.
Oh, amazing.
That's good. It's good.
The yacht's going to crash.
Well, that's, well, that scene, that scene is my favorite of all time. Yeah. But yeah. As far as action scenes go, I pick the
best. Yes.
That's
yes.
amazing.
We have to draw the line.
That's amazing. Of course. Well, Lance, you did such a great job on this season. It's such a pleasure. Really, really a lot of fun. And I'm so happy we got to get you to sing, too. It was just such a good time for me to work on that song with you and stuff. So really, really fantastic.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It's been great. It's been a great time.
At some point, if you're going to, it's a Friday night, you got nothing to do, and you decide to pull up Annie on Netflix or something.
You should watch the old one. Yeah.
You say, I did it better.
Yeah. From like it's the older one's from the 70s, is it?
1982, I
with
think.
Is the, okay.
That's
with
the Carol Albert Finney
1982,
one.
Yeah.
That's the Albert Finney
okay.
one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was Albert Finney. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Carol Burnett, Bernadette Peters, Burnett. Yep. Tim Curry. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I watched that one. I mean, I have to say that Kathy Bates is one of my idols. So
yes, Kathy Bates also great. And Taraji P. Henson. Taraji P. Henson just did it.
I know. You'll just have to watch them all.
Okay, well, let me start with Bernadette Peters and Carol Burnett.
100%.
It's awesome. Well, thanks, Lance.
Thank you, Lance.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, Lance Reddick, how awesome was that?
Seriously.
Greatest.
Very, very happy.
So good.
Yeah, well, we didn't really get a chance to talk to him about his duet, though. I was sort of afraid to, like...
I know! I got to be in the studio when he was recording that, and he is so good. And those harmonies are really tight, but he got it. He's so talented.
Very tight harmonies.
Not just an action star.
Nope.
But...
What?
We have Warbucks, but next up, we get to talk to the star of the show.
What?
The titular character of the musical.
Wait a second, Abby Grace is here?
That's right. She's been waiting this whole time. She listened to all of the rest of the stuff.
Oh, my God.
Well, that was very nice of her.
Abby, thanks really for nice hanging. Yeah, it was only a two-hour record. You've been hanging on for a long time. Hello, Abby Grace.
Hello.
Wait, that doesn't totally
wait,
sound
say, wait,
like
say hello
Annie.
Again.
Say hello again.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, wait a second.
I can't help but notice that you sound a little different in person than when you are playing Annie.
I'm British.
What?
I had no idea.
Okay, so your American accent is absolutely perfect.
Thank you.
You're a trained actor.
Yes, I am.
So how long have you been able to do the American accent?
Well, I lived in London up until the age of like 11/12. And then I moved to America and I'm surrounded by Americans.
True.
So
true.
I kind of just did it by my ear and picked up on how people talk. And when I was little, at the age of like 7, I had a Scottish Spanish teacher. And she would be like, hello, it's Miss Gori here. Today we're going to be talking about... And so I kind of just like pick up on different
That's
accents.
That's very impressive.
Wow. So,
wow, that is really good.
So yeah, I love doing accents and voice work, obviously. So that's how I kind of got into it. I just do loads of accents around the house.
Can you do impressions?
I can do impressions.
What impressions do you got?
What's your good one? Give us a good one.
Okay, I can do Dora. Which is a pretty fun one.
Do it.
Hola, soy Dora. ¿Cómo te llamas, Boots?
Wait.
That's really good.
Thanks.
I'm calling Nickelodeon. You should be one of the backup voices. That's bonkers.
I can also do a cool one. I can make it sound like a baby's crying. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Oh, my gosh. I dislike that a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
that
hard.
Brings back terrible memories.
I don't like that, but it's very impressive. Well, you're also like a musical theater actor as
yes.
well. Have you ever played Annie?
I have. I've been in the show 7 times.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that.
I was Annie 5 times. Molly was actually my first role I ever did. I'm
oh,
in London, so.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a close show to my heart, so
oh
I love being
gosh.
A part of it.
When you did it in London, was everybody doing it with American accents?
Yeah, it was tragic. It's
not some better than others.
You want to see.
I can't do a British accent for the life of me, so
I bet you could. Say banana. Ready? Banana.
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 That's good.
Banana.
Okay,
see,
okay.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I think I usually just go right to Cockney. But anyway,
people do.
But anyway, what would you think about this version of Annie?
Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm in college and I'm meeting so many different people and they all try to do my accent. And the go-to one that I've come to is, Harry Potter, can I have some water, please?
Shine your boots,
scoop
governor.
Got the scoop right here. Yeah. Extra, extra.
So, Abby Gray, so what did you think about this version of, well, it's not even a version, man. It's so much different.
The modern adaptation.
Yeah, the modern adaptation.
I loved it. It kept it fresh. And every time, like, I would be reading the script before we would be in the studio, I was like, oh, my God, what happens next? Like, it keeps on taking different turns that you never thought it would. And I think it's so interesting for people to see these beloved characters have, like, a different spin and go through a different journey than we're used to. So I loved it.
That's great.
You've played Annie so many times. You have her close to your heart. I'm sure you've done, I mean this like sincerely, like lots of character work. How do you feel about playing the character of Annie? Like, do you feel similar to her, not similar to her? You know what I mean? Like, compare and contrast
yourself. I feel
pretty similar
to her. She's pretty stubborn. So I relate to her on that one. I think it's interesting in all the different productions I've done. Obviously, in the musical version, she has very different objectives and tactics to get what she wants. And I think in this version, I had to kind of dig deeper and she obviously wants to find her dad, but it's more than that now because she actually has things worth losing. She has so many layers to her because she's mm-hmm. very stubborn. She gets what she wants. She's also the most loyal person you'll meet. She's warm. She's funny. She's goofy. She's naive, but she's so determined. And I don't know. I would relate to her, I think.
That's great.
And now she's 15.
She's 15, yeah, exactly.
Now she's old.
And now she's aging.
So when we started making the show, we were recording in your house.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And where have you been recording the last few times?
So we started out in my brother's closet, and then I moved to Indiana, so brought my mic with me. But then as you can hear in my dorm, you can hear the aircon. So I went to this place called Fresh Farm Studios. It's like a 20-minute Uber drive, not bad at all. And then they're really, really nice there. Great guys. And then just recorded it there.
Yep. So you started college in the middle of making this show.
Yeah. Wow. I did.
Just that.
Wow. Nice. Well, we have, I don't know if you know how this works, Abby Grace, but we have a bunch of categories from the show. We're going to play you some clips, and you get to pick your favorite of all the clips, and then that's it. Your word is the ultimate word.
Is law.
Yeah. That means
it's lots of pressure.
It is. It's a ton of pressure, but don't worry. We'll talk you through it.
And you can vote for a category that you're in.
You're allowed to give yourself an award. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Jess, do you want to introduce the Abby Grace's category?
Absolutely. This is the biggest twist.
Ooh,
okay.
Yes. It's kind of a category for Dave in that way, I guess, you know?
Right. It's a bit of a...
He kind of wrote it. Exactly. Yeah.
Someone leaves a second locket in the cemetery.
Whoever that was got something stuck on the top of the fence. Is that a gold chain? Here, I'll grab it. It's a broken locket. Exactly like mine.
Mm. Chrissy.
Tomorrow.
Pretty Chrissy.
Tomorrow. Next one is Miss Hannigan arrives at the orphanage.
What's that?
Someone else is here. Like at the cemetery.
What? Are they listening? Did they hear what you said?
Hello? Is someone there?
Nobody here but us ghosts.
Miss Hannigan.
Thanks for remembering, Red.
What are you doing here?
As you might recall, Pepper, this orphanage used to be my home.
Yeah? Well, now it's mine, and you're trespassing.
I assume you're paying rent and utilities.
You want to start, Hanny? I'm not a little kid anymore. Pepper... Let me go, Tessie!
Should we talk about what I walked in on?
It's not polite to eavesdrop, Miss Hannigan.
You know what else isn't polite, Molly? Lying. Isn't that right, Annie?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Miss Hannigan. We're just a bunch of friends catching up. Come on now, girls. You don't have to be secretive around your old pal, Miss Hannigan. I heard what you said. Awfully big secret to be keeping, Annie.
There's no secret. My dad's been delayed. That's all.
Not what it sounded like to me.
Why don't you just crawl back under your rock, Hannigan? Haven't you hurt Annie enough?
I hurt Annie? Did your friends tell you what happened at the party?
I'm sorry you fell in the cake. So, Sandy.
Save it.
Just another humiliation in a long series of them.
I told you, I don't have any beef with you anymore.
Nice of you to say, but you sure did have some bad luck tonight. Because the one person who knows you're lying about Daddy Warbucks has spent the last 5 years dreaming of revenge.
Well, that takes us to a potential for people who aren't that far along in the series.
Listen, I gave the warning. There will be spoilers.
You're right.
Yes, we're spoiling everything except the last episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So this one's called, spoiler alert, Warbucks is alive.
Comparing the scratches and scuff marks on both, there's a 99.998% probability that these lockets are identical.
The same locket?
I don't understand. What is this locket?
It's the other one! The one I found in the cemetery! My dad took it with him the day of the party. He seemed pretty interested in it.
But if your dad had that with him when he got on the plane...
And the locket somehow made it off the plane...
Then maybe he did too.
Yeah. Roof, Scrabby, Scooby-Doo.
I was thinking more of Swedish Chef. But I legit thought that he was dead.
So did honest. I.
Because
really?
I wasn't on the writing side of this show, and I listened to it all very recently. And I thought he was dead.
Huh.
And I was like,
what
an
interesting
twist.
That'd
be really terrible.
Yeah. Well, y'all made it really convincing.
Have we ever other than Dr. Whittier?
I was going to say Dr. Whittier.
Yeah, who we killed very, very, we gave him, you know, the most noble, not noble, but...
Not noble.
Gentle? No, not even gentle. What's the word I'm looking for, Dave? Non-violent? No, it was still violent.
It was still violent. That's from our show, 6 Minutes.
Anyways, we've only ever killed one person.
Yeah. Well, Drake kind of dies on the show, but then he
Drake
comes
dies.
Back.
Oh, Drake dies on the show, but he comes back. But he's a computer.
Yeah, I straight up thought Warbucks was not alive. So, good work. Mm-hmm. Good twist.
Thank you.
And here's another one. Adam is the bad guy.
Technically, this is Drake 2.0. I cloned the Drake program so that I'd have one of my very own. But we're good buddies, aren't we?
If you say so, sir.
Sir? It's a show of respect. He's helped me with so much. Just like he's helped you.
How has he helped me?
Well, for starters, he's kind of the reason you got out of prison.
What are you talking about?
Do you remember that letter Annie Warbucks wrote to the parole board on your behalf?
What about it?
Drake? Can we hear it read back in our dear, sweet Annie's voice?
Initiating voice synthesis.
I, Annie Bennett Warbucks, hold no ill will towards Miss Hannigan. My
it
father
was you.
And I have a wonderful life.
You were my guardian angel. Moved on. Why? And
I thought you'd be a good distraction while I set my trap for Warbucks. Same reason I scored you an invite to Annie's Gotcha Day party.
Wait, the invitation I found in that coat, you put it there?
That one took a little coordination, but... Yep. Sometimes you just want to light a match and watch it burn. Of course, I wasn't counting on the whole you walking in on Annie and her pals and the orphanage of it all.
Adam!
I can tell you've got something on your mind. Go ahead, Axe. Ask me what you really want to know.
Did you cause Oliver Warbucks' plane to go down that night?
I think you already know the answer to that question.
Act!
Abby Grace, what did you think when you first heard Adam, how bad he was? I mean, he's pretty scary in this show.
Yeah, did you know from the top that he was going to be, like, did you know that business from the top?
I didn't know from the top, but when I did find out, I honestly felt betrayed.
He should.
Yeah.
We got one more here, which is Adam is Annie's brother.
Spoiler.
What were you looking for that day?
I was looking for your brother.
Well, then I guess we found him. Didn't we, Adam?
Yeah, Annie. I guess you did.
You're my brother.
Not just your brother. Congratulations! We're twins!
Twins?
Then the woman in the hospital...
Just a random coma patient. A prop, really.
That's... How long have you known? About us?
Long enough to plot this entire disgusting scheme. To trick me into hiring him.
Why? Why go through all of this instead of just telling me?
You wouldn't understand.
It's because I chose her, right? Because Annie got to come live with me and you didn't.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably why.
It's a twist.
That's a twist.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, Abby Grace, you get to pick your favorite twist out of the entire show.
I'm in between that Warbucks is actually alive and that Adam is my brother. But I'm going to have to go with Warbucks is alive. I think that's the biggest twist.
Especially since Jess thought he was dead.
Right? I really did. I was like, wow, GZM.
Exactly. So I think that he's alive is the biggest twist because we're told to believe that like, he's dead the whole time. And I think it's heartwarming and it's what we all wanted. So I think that's the biggest twist for me.
Right. It's giving the audience hope again.
Exactly.
Right. And he's imagined throughout a lot of the episodes.
Yeah, you could believe that he's a ghost in those scenes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Has my vote.
Y'all, that graveyard scene, I'll never forgive y'all for that. When she's in the graveyard and being like, hey, be friends with my dad. Yeah, nope. Yeah. Never forgiving y'all for that.
That's a brutal one.
No, sir. I'm writing a formal complaint. What do you think that award goes to? Maybe Alan? Maybe Drake?
I think it goes to Lance because he's
Lance.
Alive.
Okay. Lance.
Building. Good job, you won.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like a tombstone.
Oh, gosh. Okay. And then we have this category, which seems like just a general discussion, which I like it.
Yep.
No clips,
just discussing.
No clips, just conversation. Questions to answer in the finale. All right, Dave, do you want to take these away?
No, this is where we're not giving any spoilers here. This is where we're just going to answer. This is where this is a spoiler-free zone. The fun.
Do you think, Abby Grace, that Annie can ever forgive Adam for what he did to her and her dad?
I mean, they're family, so... It was pretty backstabbing, but he did have a good reason. You could see it from both sides. I think we could forgive him.
Wow.
He's going to have a lot of work to do, I think.
He's going to have a lot of work to do.
It would take time, but...
But Annie would be, like, the most forgiving person.
That's what I'm... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of her, like, key character traits is how forgiving she is. And, I mean, the only thing she really wants is family. Mm-hmm. So I think she would put her differences aside and forgive him.
It's true. You know who's not very forgiving? Warbucks.
Yes.
He does not seem like a very forgiving guy to me.
True that.
But that takes us to our next question. Will Warbucks be able to save his company?
Yeah, it's in pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Warbucks. He has all the power in the world.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like he'll be, like, swiped up by some other... Think about Amazon failing. People will want it. You know what I mean?
Well, wait. Did Amazon fail? Did somebody not tell me? What happened?
No spoilers.
Oh.
Amazon failed.
What do we think about what Annie did as far as pretending that he was still alive?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? So that's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty lying to investors and stuff. That's, you know.
It's bad, but it's clever.
Yeah.
It is clever. She lied to Congress.
Like I said, Succession Junior. Well, so basically it happens. But yeah, I mean, well, she was just trying to save the company. And, you know, like I don't blame her for it. Would I have done that? Probably not. Yeah,
I might be a little biased, but I think she did what she had to. But, I mean, there definitely were some times so I was like, Annie, not a good choice.
Yes.
But I think she did the right thing. I mean, she did it all for him.
So. And it was all, she did it all because she never lost hope, basically. Well, she does lose hope for a little bit at one point, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Not for long, yep.
Will Miss Hannigan choose Annie? Or Easy Street.
Yeah.
Conceptually.
Uh-huh. I think she has to choose Annie. Like, Annie did so much, and we saw a good side of Miss Hannigan. I would have faith that she would choose Annie. I think she now has more than money. She has people that care about her, I think. Mm. But then again, it's Miss Hannigan, so.
Right, who is she at her core?
These are tough questions. I see both sides on like all of these.
I think, you know, what's interesting about it is because we got to meet the ghost of Miss Hannigan's mother, who's really awful. Mm-hmm. And you got to hear like she spent her whole life with this woman basically pouring poison in her ear, telling her you can't trust anyone in this world and they're always going to turn on you. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's her number one thing is protecting herself. So I don't know what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then that takes us to the even bigger question, which Dave just launched right into, which is what happens next?
What happens next?
Right. Maybe I do reveal a spoiler here that aliens land and then there's a big ship.
Right.
Is that too much? Wait.
Sure. Why not?
I mean, I will
zombies.
Say in season
sound
one,
design. The sound design was amazing.
Sound design was amazing with all the aliens and zombies. Y'all did it really. I played some of the zombies.
You did, yeah.
I did a bunch of noises.
Oh, but, right. Zombie.
I'm a zombie. I really loved in season one. Maybe this is just a gentle challenge. I loved in season one the romance, and I want more in season two.
Mm-hmm.
Be that Warbucks, be that Annie, be that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want some love interests, but that's just me. That's what happens next. I'm not the writer.
I think that's right. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. The interesting thing is Annie's had all this time away from Warbucks where she grew up even more. You know, she's been really independent. She ran a company on her own. So how does that affect their relationship when he comes back? You know, my favorite line for him in the whole show is when he says, I adopted a little girl. No one told me one day I'd have a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like really true about him. It like never occurred to him that she was going to grow up. And that's hard for him.
I like that.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So they've got a long way.
That hits home for me. My daughter's just becoming a teenager and it's a lot.
My parents could definitely say the same too.
What's the best question? Are we picking a best question?
No, I think I would just like to know what Abby Grace, what her hope is for Annie going forward.
Yeah. My hope for Annie is just, I mean, she worked so hard in this season and she definitely went on like an emotional roller coaster. So I just want her to be happy. I want her to find a hobby that she loves. I mean, I think, and see like
Annie needs more
social
hobbies.
Media. Right. No, see where like the social media thing takes her, because I think that's kind of, I would say that got her through a bunch. And so I'd like to see her delve more into that and see, I don't know specifically what I want for her. I just know that I want her to be happy and to explore life as a teenager. And
you want her to spend more time on TikTok is what you're saying.
Well, I like that idea. She could get creative. Like, that's fun. I like that.
And maybe she could help Warbucks bring back the company through TikTok.
Oh!
Yep.
That's a very current thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so big brain.
Yep.
Don't be a writer for GZM.
And she's got a big heart. She cares about rescue dogs and about helping other kids maybe that have gone through what she's gone through. So I think all those are all interesting things for her to explore going forward.
Yeah, that's 100%.
True. That's true. Well, Abby Grace, you were amazing all season long. And just the fact that you did those impressions was just unbelievable. I'm still blown away.
So good.
Thanks, guys.
You use that in season two.
You're so talented.
Yeah, seriously.
So thank you so much for joining us here. And,
thanks for having me.
And for being on the show. You know, I think it's amazing. It's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah. And you know, Jess, I don't have our regular outro music. We don't have any outro music to like do like, you know, to like sing you off. So Jess, I think Jess, we're going to give Jess the final word.
Okay. Well, check out the big season finale next week. It's sure to knock your socks off. I will say. It's
true. Are you trying to use 1930s lingo?
It sure knocked my socks off. But until then, this is Jess Fisher saying, you're never fully dressed without a smile.
Aww. I liked that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like rewrote the song a little bit, but it wasn't finished. It's not finished yet. Season two.
Season two.
Check it out.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Everybody watch. Everybody watch. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Prime members, listen to Tomorrow, early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids and Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Hey, parents and teachers, have you heard about gzmclassroom.com? It's a website where teachers can get companion resources for everyone's favorite GZM shows. 6 Minutes, Mars Patel, Podcast Title Pending, Seis Minutos, The Res, Becoming Mother Nature, Iowa Chapman and the Last Dog, Treasure Island 2020, The Hollow, Young Ben Franklin, and The Big Fib all have companion resources for additional critical thinking, listening comprehension, and ultimately, creativity. We made them just for you. And oh yeah, they're free. Free! The people on Facebook didn't believe us, but they are F-R-E-E, free. Head to gzmclassroom.com and get yours today. Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube.